Welcome to Wanna Be Clutter Free, the podcast for ambitious moms who are ready to ditch the mess and stress for good. Let's simplify, organize, and create a life you actually love waking up to. Are you ready? Let's do this.
Well, hey there, my friend. Welcome back to the show. My name is Deanna Yates, and you are listening to episode 218 of the Wanna Be Clutter Free podcast. On today's episode, I am chatting with Risa Williams about overcoming procrastination. Risa's been a guest on this show a few times, and she really knows her stuff. I really enjoy any time I get to talk with Risa because she takes these big concepts and breaks them down into actionable steps and ways we can overcome just these difficult things that we're all dealing with. So I really, really enjoyed this episode, and I know you are going to as well. Risa Williams is a clinical psychotherapist and a productivity coach specializing in time management tools, anxiety reduction skills, and ways to overcome procrastination. She's based in Los Angeles, California, and is an award-winning author of multiple self-help books, including The Ultimate Time Management Toolkit, The Ultimate Anxiety Toolkit, The Ultimate Self-Esteem Toolkit, and the newest one, The Procrastination Playbook for Adults with ADHD. They're all great. They all have amazing things to offer. So if you haven't checked them out, please do so. And you can also find links to the previous interviews I have done with Risa in the show notes this week at wannabeclutterfree.com/218. Again, that's wannabeclutterfree.com/218. And now, let's get to my conversation with Risa.
Well, hey, Risa, welcome back to Wanna Be Clutter Free. How are you doing today?
Great. Good to be here. Good to see you again.
So good to see you. You have a new book coming out all about procrastination. But before we talk about that, can you please tell our listeners about yourself and what you do?
Sure. I am a licensed therapist here in Los Angeles. I'm a time management consultant. And I work with people on managing their time, getting more organized, and reducing their stress. So I talk to all sorts of people every week, all sorts of occupations and backgrounds, and we look at managing their weekly time. And all the books I write are about goal setting and time management skills. And this newest book is called The Procrastination Playbook, and it will be in stores in November, but you can pre-order it now. And I tried to make a very heavy subject like procrastination more, not fun, but I wanted to look at it through a lighter lens of, it seems so mysterious and full of dread and despair, this thing we call procrastination, but how can we get more honest about it, give it a label that makes sense to us, and then take actionable strategies to move ourselves out of it? Because as someone who has procrastinated before, I know what that feels like to be lost in it for a really long time. It feels terrible. It's a terrible feeling when you have chronic procrastination going on with a particular project or thing you really want to do or move forward on. And you just raise your hand. So You have that too sometimes.
Totally.
Where you get stuck.
Yes. Yeah. I'm excited to talk to you about this today because I do that a lot. And I mean, we could even I'll even bring up some examples as we get going. I'm sure we will dive way into my life, which is always fun for me, but my listeners love it. So we will do that as well. I will try to be vulnerable and honest. But let's start with, what are our procrastination signs? You talk about this in your book. And by the way, your books are lovely because they are fun. They are fun and they are easy to digest and they're easy to read and they give you such actionable tools. So I'm really looking forward to this one because I think this one's going to help me a lot. So I will definitely, it's already on pre-order. So fantastic. But tell us about that. What are our procrastination signs? What do you mean by that?
So this is really interesting to me because I work with so many people and a lot of what we're working on is procrastination. I started to notice that people will have telltale signs that they are procrastinating. I call these little cues to you that something's going on there. For example, an obvious one that a lot of people have is they just stop opening their mail. They have piles of unopened mail and they just keep bringing it in and the stack is getting higher and they're not opening their mail. I would say that's one of the number one procrastination signs I hear from people. I don't know why I'm avoiding opening my mail. I just like piling up and I can't find anything. Paperwork is another thing, like paper piles starting to accumulate. Some people avoid their desk or computer or email. Like they will actually physically start avoiding the thing that reminds them of the thing they have to do. And there's all sorts of signs. Some are really obvious when you think about it, and some are so subtle. So I know I've talked before with you about one of mine is when I'm avoiding writing, I do a lot of cleaning. And I think a lot of writers do this too, but it's not healthy kind of cleaning. It's a very stressed out, like, scrub the kitchen, like, whip out the bleach. We're scrubbing the sink. And like, I will do it at weird times where one should not be cleaning the kitchen because I am avoiding writing a chapter of my book. And I talk about this in my book a lot about my own relationship with procrastination. You know, just because I am quote unquote an expert on these things doesn't mean that I don't do them. I just learned how to call myself out on it. I think I know too much now to let it go too long. And that's the only difference between me and anyone else. I still procrastinate. But now I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What are you doing here? Are you procrastinating? And I have this little funny talk with myself about what I'm doing. And that's what I'm trying to teach people to do in the book. Like, lighten up a little. Everyone procrastinates. Literally everyone. That's the one thing we have in common. We're all procrastinating something now. And all these super, you know, well-accomplished, high-achieving people that you admire, trust me, they procrastinate things. You just don't know what areas they're procrastinating in. So sometimes people are real go-getters in one area and they're just like banging stuff out and you're like, wow, look at you. You're not seeing the other things that they are putting off. By focusing all their attention there, they may be procrastinating the laundry at home or other stuff they have to do. And because I'm a therapist who works with so many people from so many different walks of life, I see how this manifests in people's lives. And there's always one area that's like a little bit of an Achilles heel for us, you know? So it's about identifying what are those things for you and what are the telltale signs when you really stop and think about it that show you that you might be stuck in a procrastination loop.
I love it. And you're so right. I mean, the reason oftentimes we write about these things or talk about these things is because we either, one, need help with it, or two, we figured out a way to help ourselves with it. And so this has been how we can share that knowledge. So yeah, definitely. Yeah. I have been in the loop of when life gets super stressful for me, cleaning goes to the wayside. So I'm not a procrastinator. I'm a rage cleaner. Like if I get rage upset, cleaner. Oh my God. If my husband and I are having a tiff, watch out. The house will be spotless.
Yeah.
Generally,
I mean, maybe
tidy.
In a way that's like healthy. I don't know. To like channel the rage.
Yeah. The house is generally tidy, but if it's like spotless, like white glove spotless, you know, we have not been getting along that
something
week.
Something happened. And if you come to my house and it's spotless, you know, I have a deadline that is pending, like tomorrow. And that's why I'm cleaning the bathtub.
Uh-oh.
Right now.
So we could talk about ways we've overcome that. But another one for me when I'm procrastinating work, and one of the reasons why I love moving into this office for my recording is my normal desk is in the middle of the house. I will often get up and just go look in the pantry to eat something.
Yeah, I'm stress like, eating, stress what, snacking.
What do I here? I don't. And so like I try to like even catch myself is if I just allow myself to open the door and now I'm like, okay, stop. Close the door because you don't need anything in here. You're not even hungry. So I've been finding myself doing that a lot more lately. So, yeah.
So I have like worksheets where you write that stuff out. Like I don't open my mail. I avoid my computer. Maybe I find myself going to the kitchen 5 times in a row. People do that all the time. They just keep getting up. They sit down to type a sentence and then they get up 20 times. They're like, oh, I got to put that away. Oh, I should call someone else. I have people who start rearranging their desk and doing all sorts of things to avoid doing the thing. And honestly, some of this is funny and we can laugh about it. And other times you're caught in such a long-term pattern of that with a particular project. That's when we want to address it because that's when those feelings of shame and guilt and beating ourselves up become so pervasive that it's actually stopping us from moving forward at all. And it can feel really debilitating to people. It can feel really scary. And there's often this dialogue going on like, I don't know why I'm stuck. Like, I don't know what my deal is. I make a to-do list. I say I'm going to do it on Tuesday. And then every Tuesday, something comes up. So there's all sorts of different ways we trick ourselves into not moving forward with something. And there's all sorts of different reasons. So sometimes those reasons are really deep reasons, like there's a lot of layers why you're avoiding something. But also sometimes the reasons are not deep at all. And this is what I want to look at. Like sometimes if you really sit down and ask yourself, why am I avoiding writing the sentence? It's something ridiculous. Like, this isn't fun for me. I don't like writing this. I don't want to do this right now. There's like these little thoughts that are so little, but they're making us so stuck. So part of my book is to lighten up about it. Get really honest with yourself. Call yourself out when you see yourself doing something strange. Like maybe you've gotten up five times instead of typing a sentence and just say, what am I doing right now? What are you doing right now? And, you know, and just having a little bit of fun and asking yourself, are you procrastinating? Is this what's going on? Like, should we just move forward instead? Because honestly, the feeling of procrastination feels so much worse sometimes than just ripping the Band-Aid off and like getting started on one thing. And sometimes it's about making that one thing so small, ridiculously easy and small that you're just like, okay, I'm just going to. So sometimes my clients will be like, you know, I open up the page and I can't type. I'll say, well, just type the title. And that's all you have to do today. Because it's so small and easy, I've tricked them now into, okay, I can type the title. Usually what happens then is someone types a sentence. So I'm sitting here typing anyway, so I'm going to type. And that's that feeling is you pushed past it a little bit. You overcame the procrastination. And now it's just about pacing and not overdoing it and getting shut down again.
Okay, interesting. You also cover this idea of visible procrastination versus sneaky procrastination.
Yeah.
What is that? What does that mean?
We're going to take one quick break. And when we live in San Diego and we do not have air conditioning. So come summer, grilling outside isn't just preferred, it is absolutely required. I will not add one more degree of heat to this house if I can help it. And grilling nights work best when quality protein is already in the freezer, ready to go. The nights it's not, well, that's when dinner becomes a chaotic scramble. So I just ordered from Omaha Steaks, and I went straight for the Burger Perfection flight because my husband and daughter, well, they have declared themselves official beef burger connoisseurs, and we're doing a family taste test. 20 pure ground beef burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Each burger is ground from a single cut, not blended. It's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse price. Omaha Steaks has spent over 100 years perfecting this. Every cut of meat arrives vacuum sealed, flash frozen, and ready to go the moment you need it. No scrambling, no guessing. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Come back. Risa is going to talk to us about the difference between visible procrastination versus sneaky procrastination, and why it's really important that we differentiate the two. Okay, welcome back.
So I think we think classic procrastination is easy to catch on the outside because usually it's like a time management thing. Usually you're like, I don't want to do this thing. I hate doing this thing. I'm not doing it. And you can loudly announce it to people. That's visible procrastination. That's like, hey, everyone. I don't want to turn this essay in, so I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait till the last minute, and that's what I'm doing. And you say it. And you can tell by the way you're talking about it because you're acknowledging that is visible. Also, other people around you, like your husband or your, you know, friends or whatever, people who see you every day, they'll notice it. They'll be like, I think you're procrastinating doing this thing because it's visible. The sneaky procrastination, that's interesting to me because I find we have like dozens of sneaky ways we procrastinate, and those are so much harder to catch than the visible ways we procrastinate. So something like letting the mail pile up, you might even say that's a very visually obvious thing. If I know to look for that, I can understand. Now, subtle ways we procrastinate might just be, you know, going on your phone, scrolling for hours, but you're doing it all the time when you're telling yourself you should be doing something else. Another sneaky way I see a lot of like super high achieving people procrastinate is they get really busy. They fill their time up with other things and they start working on other projects that aren't as important. So it gets into task prioritization problems. Everything suddenly feels important and they're busy, busy, busy. So in their brain, they're like, but I'm doing so much. I'm moving forward, but we're still avoiding the one thing you actually needed to do. And how many people out there have had that feeling before, right?
I laughed because I have had that feeling before.
Sometimes people shut down. They don't do anything, which is a little easier to spot. And sometimes people fill their time up and get twice as busy because they're actually procrastinating, but they're not admitting that to themselves.
Interesting. Well, and I will use an example. You were part of my Chaos to Calm second summit that was all about capsule wardrobes. And we did that in May. And I procrastinated. I knew I wanted to do this next summit. I mean, the first one wrapped up at the right beginning of February. And I knew within 2 weeks I wanted to do another one in May. And yet I procrastinated getting speakers and reaching out to people for who knows why. I don't know why. I think maybe I was just, it was a lot
maybe
of work to put
exhausted.
On the first one. I think I was tired. The first one was a lot to put on. But the longer I waited, the more stressful that second summit got.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew the steps. I had already just done it. And if I would have just ripped off that Band-Aid right away, I would have saved myself a lot of stress come May.
Yeah.
As I was buttoning it all up and putting it all together, I could have had it buttoned up so much faster.
Yeah. Yeah. And so sometimes we're, in a way, we're helping our future self just by walking it forward one tiny step. Because the problem with procrastination is that we think our future self will have so much more energy and motivation to do this thing. And I tell you right now,
oh my
it's
God.
Usually the opposite. Your future self usually has less motivation and less energy because now there's so much more you have to do that you've totally overwhelmed your future self. But it's this myth we have in our head, like, today me doesn't feel like it. Today me has no motivation. Tomorrow me will have way more motivation. No, tomorrow you will probably have way less motivation. And I think that paradox is where people kind of, if you stop and think about it, it makes sense. But we don't feel that internally. We feel like I need to wait for motivation to move. And as someone who does this for a living, I can tell you that usually motivation doesn't come in that way. Usually motivation comes once you start moving. And it's confusing to people because you don't get that boost of energy until you take a few steps forward. So I think that's where we get stuck a lot. I have a type of procrastination in my book called Waiting for Motivation. And I know that's the one. That's the very sneaky form of procrastination that made me delay writing a book for 5 years. So now I've written a book every year for 5 years, but previously, before I learned any of this, I talked about writing a book for the same book for 5 years, and I never moved forward. And I didn't even realize I was procrastinating until I ran into somebody who I had told a long time ago. And they're like, oh, you finished your book, right? I didn't even start it. Wait, how long has it been since I saw you? And I was adding it up thinking, how did I do this to myself? And it wasn't that I wasn't doing a lot. I was raising 2 kids and teaching and running a business and all this other things. But the truth is, if we really do want to do something, like we honestly want to do it, we find ways to do it no matter what, you know? So sometimes when you're procrastinating, it's getting honest. Like, do I actually want to do this? Okay, if I do, I need to get honest that it's going to take steps and time and like a long time to get to the end. So I need to plan out what that is. I need to get more comfortable with each step and get my mind in the right place to take the first step. It's a little dialogue we need to have with ourselves instead of letting it all go so subconscious that we're just not addressing it. And then, you know, next thing you know, 5 years from now, you're still talking about starting that thing, that same project. I think we've all had that feeling before.
Yeah. So interesting. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that example that you gave that, you just had to start. And I do find that definitely the waiting for motivation, that one is that's a sneaky one for sure. I've definitely felt that in the past. And yeah.
Well, that's a lot of times we're not being honest that like the first steps of any new thing, it don't feel good. I've written now 5 books. Every time I start a book, it feels bad again. I'm still at the same stuck point I was at the first book. Like, I don't want to do it. I don't know where all these ideas are going. I'm scared to look at what's on the page. But you know what I do now is I reframe that. I think that's just my process. I've been through so many times. I know on the other side of that are the better feelings where I get really excited about it. But I can be honest and say, you know what? It's just not fun starting. And that's okay. And I can accept that about myself. Maybe I will never find writing that first page to be fun. And that's okay, because I know I can get past it and I know I'll figure it out eventually. And I know the more I do it, the less awful it feels. And maybe that's the talk that people listening out there, you know, might benefit from, talking to themselves in a gentler way about it. Like, this is just your process. You just don't like starting this thing, or this task isn't fun. That's okay. It's okay that it's not fun to you. It doesn't have to feel fun. But sometimes you need to move past that to get to the more fun part, or to get to the done part, or to get to the feeling good about it part.
All right, let's take one more quick break, and then we're going to talk about that feeling of procrastination. You do not want to miss this part.
Okay, couple things you said there. One, I want to go back to when you said when you're procrastinating something and you ask yourself, is this something I really want to do? So one, if it is, you gave us steps for that. But how do we let go of the idea if we decide it's not something we want to move forward with?
Yeah, if it's something you don't have to do, I mean, do you need to be putting this on your plate right now? Or is there another project that would feel more fun to do right now? Because sometimes maybe this is an old thing from a few years ago that you thought was fun then. Might not be that fun now. Maybe your interests change. I think it's about being flexible and learning that we're growing and changing as people. And we don't always have to be cracking the whip with old things that maybe now are not as interesting to us too. So we only have limited time and energy. What do you want to focus on? And then if you want to do it, how do we walk ourselves one little step at a time until we're at the point where the motivation and confidence kicks in a little bit? Often procrastination is really about confidence, feeling like you can do it, you know, and you can get to the end of it and it'll be okay. And whatever it turns out to be is okay with you, and accepting yourself in that way, accepting that things are uncomfortable. You're going to have to experiment. You're going to tinker around with it and play with it until it comes to fruition, instead of thinking it has to be perfect. It has to be this way and it has to be done instantly. All those things are going to shut you down and make you feel stuck and put the brakes on it. Whereas if you lighten up and think, I can do this a little bit at a time, let's just see how it goes. It doesn't feel good now, but I'm going to see how it feels 2 steps from now. And I'll just keep taking stock of it and befriending myself along the way.
Befriending yourself along the way. Lovely phrase. How would we equate this to decluttering in our home? So let's say... We're not someone that, you know, let's say we have procrasti-clutter. A lot of people do that, right? They're procrastinating on decisions. They've got piles everywhere. How do we get over this hump? How do we get over the procrastination and use this to our advantage?
So I think 2 things will help. Work on your self-talk. The words you're saying about the things you have to do influence how you're going to do it. If you're using a lot of negative words about it, I have to do this, this is terrible, this is a mess, this is the worst, your brain's reacting with stress. So the best thing you can do, if you can't be positive about it, is to neutralize it. Say, you know, this is something that has to happen, but I can figure it out 1 step at a time. Or I'm just going to go at my own pace with this because it is feeling hard for me. You're acknowledging that it feels hard, but you're also giving yourself a plan. And then the second piece of that, when it's something really hard, it isn't fun. Accountability, really, it's like magic. So they've done so many studies, when you just tell someone that you're going to do something, you have such a higher chance of completing it. And if you tell that person regular updates, even if you're not accomplishing it, like let's say I say, Deanna, today I was supposed to work on my book, but I didn't do it. I'm going to let you know next Friday how many pages I wrote. Eventually, people get unstuck pretty quickly because now there is a witness involved and there's accountability. And just being out of your head and not just beating yourself up and having someone there to witness any kind of progress is usually enough to get unstuck with stuff.
I love that. Accountability. Yeah. So who do you recommend we have as accountability partners? I think there's probably some people you might not recommend, but
yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about that.
People who are going to be positive. You don't need people to tell you advice. You just need somebody who will say, oh, okay, good job. Or someone you can text and say, cleaned out the closet. Or can I send you a picture of what I did? And maybe you can do this for them. If you're co-working on goals together, it tends to go better because it doesn't feel one-sided, like you're just needing praise and encouragement nonstop. We need to do this for each other and say, hey, I'm going to work on this. Is there something I can witness you doing? And we can sponsor each other's goal. You know, maybe for a month, maybe it's a limited time so they don't feel like it's an endless commitment. It works so well. And if you can't find that, you can find coaches and therapists like me who work with people. That's all I talk about all week long. Or you can go to like the group I host, the Get Stuff Done Goals group. And there are other people doing these types of groups where people are just checking in with strangers and saying, hey, guys, what I'm doing. And you know what happens? Everyone is so encouraging and warm, and people clap when someone cleans out the closet or does something amazing, like write a page of their dissertation. Everyone is so encouraging. This is what we need more of as adults, this kind of positive support where you're not giving criticism and feedback. You're just saying, good job. That was hard for you. You did it. No judgment. Like, we're all working on our own stuff.
I love that. Well, Risa, this has been fantastic. Tell people where they can reach out and get more information about you.
So you can find everything about me, my books, my groups, and everything I do at risawilliams.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at risawilliamstherapy. And please order a copy of the Procrastination Playbook. It's a great book, and it will trick you into noticing new things about the way you procrastinate in a way that I feel will hopefully be uplifting to you. So if you're in need of a little motivation boost and you don't know where to start, just pick up the book and flip through a few pages and find what resonates with you. I hope it helps you all.
Love it. And I love to end every show with three rapid fire questions. I know you've answered them before, but I want to see if they've changed over time. What does clutter-free mean to you?
I think clutter-free means two things. The clutter in your environment, but also the clutter of our own thoughts, right? And simplifying both down by learning to be kinder to yourself, by learning to accept yourself and embrace where you are now and tell yourself that that's okay. That is so important. It's going to help you figure out what's important to think about and what's important to have in your house too.
So good. Number two, what is making you happy right now or in this season of life?
In this season of life, I am enjoying the simple things a little more and slowing down. And like having a nice cup of coffee or tea and just really trying to find daily moments of calm that I can latch onto because life is so busy and chaotic. I really need those things to anchor me. So that's sort of where I'm at right now.
Love that. And then what's a goal you have for yourself for the second half of this year?
I hope to keep writing one book a year. That's been what I've been doing. And the way I've been doing that is just by catching myself every time I start to procrastinate. And telling myself encouraging things like I did it before, I'm going to do it again, and we'll see how that goes. Hopefully I'll come back and talk about the next book.
Love
after
it.
This one.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime. So hopefully you'll be at least an annual member of the podcast. So you're promoting every new book. I love that, Risa.
I love it. Thanks so much for having me. You're so much fun to talk to.
Aw, thanks, Risa. You too. Have a great day.
Well, what did you think? Like I said, I always enjoy talking with Risa because she has a way of taking these big, difficult things and breaking them down into small, manageable tasks, chunks, little assignments, little things we can do, and visual ways to make things a lot better for us. So if you haven't checked it out yet, please check out her new book. It is amazing. It's an amazing resource for you. And I will have links to those in the show notes as well. So make sure you are checking that out. But I would absolutely love to know what you thought of this episode.
Did you get some ideas on why you procrastinate and how you can kind of overcome those things? I would absolutely love to know. So please come on over and share them with me. You can share them with me on Instagram in the post for this episode, or you can share them in the Wannabe Minimalist community over on Facebook that we have set up over there. That's a private community. So you can come on in there and join in with the conversation. And I just want to say thank you so much to you for joining me today. And I hope you learned something that will really help you in your life. If you did, can you do me a favor and leave a review for this podcast? Wherever you are choosing to listen to this today, you should be able to leave a review, and it would really help out myself and the show. So thank you so much for doing that and for joining us. And of course, thanks to Risa for coming on the show again and sharing her incredible tips and wonderful knowledge. I really enjoy when she's here, like I've said, so thanks to her as well. And then make sure you check out the show notes. You can get all of those at wannabeclutterfree.com/218. Again, that's wannabeclutterfree.com/218 for today's show notes and links to all of Risa's resources and books and everything that she has going on over there. And with that, I hope you have an amazing day, and I'll see you back here next week. Until then, take care. Keep decluttering, keep things simple. Try one or two small tasks to overcome your procrastination, and know that I believe in you. I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wannabe Clutter Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers.